answer our invitation, as Bob Ray most graciously did, as Larry Grossman will tomorrow in the first hour of the Andy Berry Show. Next hour, we will take a look at two other parties that you might like to know more about. We'll take a look at the FCP, having looked at the NDP, and we'll take a look at the Freedom Party, too. Stay tuned. After the news on 1010 Radio Toronto, CFRB. Good morning at 11 o'clock in Toronto. Temperature 16 degrees. I'm David Craig with CFRB News. Did not bring an entourage with them, who did not bring in their wake numbers of television cameras and a busload of reporters. What they did bring with them is a determination to introduce issues into this election that they feel the three major parties have not. I think that folks who run on so-called really minority tickets are sometimes seen as quixotic or foolish. I don't believe that at all. As a matter of fact, the CCF, as I said to Mr. Ray at the beginning of our last hour, began its life much as the Freedom Party has begun its life, and the Family Coalition Party has also undertaken to become part of the political process. Whether we will see their numbers grow, whether we'll learn to take them more seriously, whether they will become the household names someday that the other parties have become, we do not know. What we do know is that they're exercising an important right in our society to see to it that all the issues are aired, regardless of whether or not the other three parties make them part of their agenda. So I would like you to be introduced to the two people who are here right now and also to their parties. And I would like you to call us in a few minutes at 872-1010 and tell us what you make of what they've said, and also ask them questions, give them support, or give them grief, as the case may be. That's what they're in politics for. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Judy Johnson. She is a candidate in Etobicoke West for the Family Coalition Party, or the FCP. She's a former high school teacher. She'll be telling us more about the FCP in a moment. Robert Metz is visiting us from London, Ontario. He's a candidate in the provincial election for the Freedom Party. And could we, only because she's sitting right across from me, Mr. Metz, give Ms. Johnston a crack first at telling us more about the Family Coalition Party. I have all your literature in front of me. Imagine now that you were knocking on my, and I guess 130,000 other doors at this moment. We've just opened the door. We've never heard of what you are. Tell us what you stand for.
Okay. Good morning, Andy. I would say I represent the Family Coalition Party, which is the newest party in Ontario. It was formed by people who want to see the family as the reason a lot of legislation is coming out of Ontario. We think there are a lot of anti-family measures being legislated by the other three parties, and we would like to stop this.
Tell us what measures specifically you feel are anti-family.
Well, there are a number of them. The first one that comes to mind is the implementation of the Marion Powell report, which is to open abortion clinics in all the large towns in Ontario. We don't feel this is right. It has been done without talking to people who are concerned about the unborn. Another one is the special protection given to homosexuals in Bill C-7, despite widespread opposition from individuals and from churches.
So you see abortion in homosexuals as a threat to the family?
Yes, I do.
Even though, of course, homosexuals belong to families, they are the sons, the brothers, the fathers, and frequently the husbands in family
groups. And that's fine. As people in families, that they're protected the same as the rest of us, as human beings are protected. Mm-hmm. But to legislate that their lifestyle should be protected is anti-family, because homosexuality is not a family. The practice of it is not pro-family.
And similarly, our daughters might one day find themselves in need of an abortion, or so they may say. I mean, we could think of horrendous circumstances where they'd be victims of rape, or we can just figure more gentle circumstances in which at a young age they felt ill-equipped to bring up a child and face that sort of choice in their lives.
Yes.
But this is not a family concern, or it's anti-family, as far as...
Well, if you're not protecting the smallest member, the weakest member of the family, then you're not concerned with family. And it starts out perhaps as being abortion for the cause of reason of rape, which is rape results in pregnancy in very, very small minority
of cases. I purposely stated two extremes,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, I have four teenage daughters,
mm-hmm.
and I know if one of them became pregnant, it would be a problem, and I would encourage them to carry through the pregnancy, whether they wanted to keep the baby or not, and of course there's a great demand for children now for adoption, but I would encourage them and hope that they would grow through the experience, just as through any unfortunate happening in their life.
But beyond your encouragement as a mother, you feel that the province has a role in not only encouraging them to confront, let's say, an unwanted pregnancy, but to legally discourage them from getting an abortion. I just want to get this clear.
Yes, I feel that the province should not be paying for abortions, and I feel it is taking a life, and that legislation encourages attitudes, and I think that we should fight to change the attitude, just as we have changed the attitude towards smoking. I think we should be encouraging through education, we should be encouraging young people to practice chastity,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, go out and have fun and just be careful, because condoms are not the answer. They are not proper sex education.
Okay, let us, if we may, move over now in a very different light, I think, to the Freedom Party and to Robert Metz. I take it from what I know of your party that if someone wants to smoke or advertise tobacco, even though it's going to do them a great deal of damage, they ought to be free if they wish to go to hell in that particular handbasket.
You're absolutely right, insofar as they do not extend that damage to the people around them.
Mm-hmm. And let's maybe go on and talk, for instance, about abortion so we can understand the philosophy of the Freedom Party.
Well, our philosophy is very simple. Freedom Party believes that the purpose of government is to protect the individual's freedom of choice and not to restrict it. And I'm rather in an odd position on the issue of abortion, having become politically active as a member of Right to Life. I learned very early that political activity is not the way to pursue a moral end. I'll give you an example of what's going on in this election right now on the issue of abortion, and I'll explain why politics cannot possibly ever hope to address an issue that is moral in nature. Right now we're seeing people running around the province tailgating David Peterson with signs against Morgenthaler's abortion clinics, and carrying placards that say, please uphold the law, uphold the law, close down these clinics. Well, now, if these people really thought about what the law says that individuals who want an abortion have to go before a committee, and that they can then go to an accredited hospital, which is funded by the government, run by the government, paid for by OHIP premiums and taxes, so that, in effect, these people, in wanting to restrict people's freedom of choice on the terms of abortion, they're actually advocating themselves to be subsidizing the abortions they claim to be against.
Okay, we don't, by the way, want to suggest in any way that this hour is about abortions. We're just trying to understand the philosophies of these two parties.
Of course.
So what you're telling us is you came to politics through Right to Life, which is a moral stand.
That's
but politically,
correct.
Politically, you believe, in fact, that the province, the nation, the state, should not be telling anyone whether or not they should or should not obtain an abortion.
That is correct. I, even as an individual, have no right to make that decision for somebody else. That's definitely a personal choice.
What are some of the other personal choices that you feel government has stepped in, maybe in the hope of saving us from ourselves, maybe in the hope of making us better, but at any rate have taken onto their own shoulders rather than leaving to us?
Well, there are a number. I know we're well known in the Toronto area, or best known in the Toronto area, for our stand on Sunday shopping. We believe that Sunday shopping is a matter of individual choice, and that those people who wish to go shopping on Sundays can do so, and those who wish not to go Sunday shopping have the same right. We're a party definitely opposed to the concept of censorship in a free society, and regard that as a contradiction to having a free society. We're very much in favor of free trade, and we view free trade as a matter of individual right, not a matter of political necessity or political opportunism.
So to paraphrase Trudeau, you want the state out of the bedroom, out of the boardroom, out of the kitchen, out of the garage, out of the smoking parlor, all those places where government has chosen to go in order, as I say, to save us from ourselves.
That's right. Governments should be there to prevent some people from exercising their will over others. That's what the purpose of a government should be in a free society, and to allow individuals to responsibly exercise their own decisions.
Okay. Now, I didn't expect a debate here, but it's clear, listening to Mr. Metz talk, Ms. Johnson, that we could really have one, because of paramount importance to the Family Coalition Party is the family. So, for instance, I'm sure that even though censorship might be an evil in some people's minds, you would prefer it in order to protect families from pornography.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Sunday shopping is
a threat to the family.
Is a threat to the family. There, you know, you can't get out and go around and visit friends and spend time together is one aspect if you have the same number of cars on the roads on Sunday as you do on the other days of the week. And also, a lot of women would be forced to work if the boss says the store is going to be open. They would have to work on Sundays.
So you believe, just to compare you now with Mr. Metz, you believe that, in fact, government has an important role in the private lives of the public in order to protect either us as individuals or, in this case, the family.
That's right.
From all of the pressures and all of the threats that it faces.
Yes, Mr. Metz just said that the government is there to prevent us from enforcing our will on others. And yet, isn't this the case in abortion? We're forcing our will on these unborn children. Somebody has to speak for them.
Well, I guess the question, but we won't allow this to stray into a discussion of abortion,
no,
is whether or not an unborn child is an other in the same sense that Mr. Metz talked about protecting others from...
Yeah, we feel it is, so that's why our stance is there.
I feel that a lot of you out there will want to know more about these two parties, regardless of whether or not you do or don't vote for them. I think that the issues that they have described are ones that the three major parties frequently try to stay away from. They're delicate. The abortion issue specifically is one that could be made a great deal of in this election and has been virtually unheard of. It's a delicate topic that, in fact, the provincial governments have a choice before them in terms of whether or not they will thoroughly enforce the federal law or, as they did in Quebec, pretty much allow the status quo to exist. So let's hear from you, if we could. We'd like to know what you make of the two statements you've just heard, both from Judy Johnson of the Family Coalition Party and Robert Metz of the Freedom Party. We'd like you to tell us whether or not you feel the other three parties are covering off their concerns adequately. If not, why not? Or you could take them on if you'd like. These are parties, by the way, who are running candidates in this election, 36 in the case of the Family Coalition Party, 12, I believe.
Nine,
I'm sorry, in the case of the Freedom Party. We'll be back with our two guests and your telephone calls at 872-1010 in just 2 minutes. Family Coalition Party, Judy Johnson is here with us right now. Robert Metz, representing the Freedom Party, is here as well. We're hoping to hear from as many of you as possible. Good morning, this is CFRB.
Yes, good morning, Andy. I have a question for Mr. Metz.
Yes, sir.
Would you like to see liquor being advertised on both radio and TV?
I personally wouldn't perhaps like to see it, but I certainly wouldn't prohibit it. See, the sale of liquor can be prohibited at the source, either through a liquor control board or through some other means.
No, it's just a very simple question. You see beer and wine, you know, being freely advertised on both radio and TV. I can't see why liquor can't be advertised either.
Well, the only reason it can is because the government doesn't allow it, and there are many restrictions in advertising, even relating to lifestyle, that generally extend the proper function of a government. But certainly I'm not advocating that minors should get ready access to any alcoholic beverages, nor is that the case, nor would that be the case.
But the instant that we restrict anybody's right to go out and buy booze, right, we are beginning to encroach upon his personal freedom in a way the Freedom Party says government should not.
If you're talking about an adult, yes.
Mm-hmm. Any adult?
Any adult who's still, you know, in control of themselves. As soon as a person proves themselves not to be responsible, that is the point at which...
Should liquor be sold 24 hours a day on the open market?
Well, that depends upon the market. If the market is there 24 hours a day, then what's the difference?
I see. Thank you for calling, sir. Good morning. This is CFRB.
Yes, I have a comment to make to the... is it the Family Party, Ms. Johnson, is it?
It's the Family Coalition Party.
Family Coalition.
Yes.
Just the name of your party suggests that it's so selective you've got a big electorate there, and all you're doing is a special interest party, and you're not going to get anywhere. And who's going to look after the orphans and the illegitimates and the singles? For instance, I'm single, and I don't get all the things that families get.
What is a family, by the way? Before I had a child, were my wife and I a family?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're married.
Okay.
I'm sure this man is a member of a family, whether he's living alone or not. In fact, most of us are members of family, but we're trying to encourage family values and traditional Judeo-Christian values.
But I think when you say family, this man seems to be suggesting you're painting a picture of mom and pop and 2.5 kids. And you don't see yourself? Are you a part of a family, sir? Do you think of yourself as part of a family?
I'm part of a family in a very loose way, and,
right.
it's the best way to be, I think. And I don't think she should be all uptight about representing families.
Well, I guess you've raised a question, and that is what the family has become. In fact, I think a minority right now of the families in North America involve, let's say, a woman at home looking for children, a husband who goes off to work. There are huge numbers of people who are in divided homes, separated homes.
And they're all families.
Single-parent homes.
Sure. They're all families. And maybe a lot of these women would like to stay home and look after their children, but they're not getting the moral support and the financial support that they need.
Well, what about a sole support mother who finds herself with an unwanted pregnancy and is working every day to support her child and cannot take adequate time off to care for another child, which she can't afford to support at any rate? At that point, she may want an abortion in order to protect her family, she would say.
Well, if it's just a matter of money, why not give her the money? Why attack the person when you can attack the problem, solve the problem? If money is the answer, then give her some money and let her stay home and look after her children. The children are our future, and our birth rate is really falling drastically.
Who should give that money? Where should that money come from?
I think the rest of society.
Well, isn't that other families? Aren't you putting a burden on other families to make up for some possible shortcoming in another family? Isn't that contradictory to supporting families?
Yes. No, it's not contradictory. When the mother is needed at home with the child for the young years, then we should help her and encourage her to enable her to look after her child.
Mr. Metz, your party believes, in fact, that that woman has brought her problems down on her own head and ought to live with the consequences, and that it's not society's job to put a net underneath her.
Well, all we're doing is spreading the problems around and thinking that we're getting rid of them somehow, but we're not really doing that by having government advocacy coming in and spreading people's problems around. The government can only do so much. And you have to remember, there's other families out there, myself included, my wife and I both work, and it really incenses us that there are other people out there who think that they should have a claim on our earnings to support their family with their problems when we have our own family and our own problems. I mean, families aren't one big collective that all have a common interest. Every family has its own interest.
If your wife tomorrow needed open heart surgery, should I just make that your problem, or should we ask other families around the province to kick in a few bucks in OHIP payments so that your wife would not have to see your life savings wiped out?
Whatever health problems I or my wife have in our life, that is our responsibility.
That's it.
And we see to it that we have the insurance to cover it, and there's nothing wrong with insurance.
Okay. Let's take another call. Good morning, CFRB.
Good morning. I have a question for Mr. Metz.
Yes.
What I'm concerned about is the amount of reductions that your party is proposing for the government itself. Are you
such as a
very small government or kind of an almost anarchistic type state?
Absolutely not. We do believe that the purpose of government is to protect our freedom of choice, and that involves a lot of government in some people's minds, certainly those who are anarchist. We very much believe in a specific function of government. We believe the government should be there to protect our individual rights, our property rights, and our right to make our choices for ourselves. And although that may sound like we don't need government, that's not the case. We do need government to prevent some people from imposing their will on others.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that has concerned me is the continual growth of the government in terms of what it's doing and the number of people that it's employing and how much it costs to maintain the government.
Mm-hmm.
if the Freedom Party is interested in simplifying the government in terms of its control over the individual, will this mean a reduction in the size of the government and perhaps in the government taxes of the individual as well?
Certainly in those areas where the government's exercising undue control over individuals' lives, that is absolutely the truth.
Mm. Good morning, this is CFRB.
Oh, good morning. I'd like to ask Judy what her FCP, if it stands for coalition, why is she mentioning Christian? And if I don't have any religious organization that I belong to, is this party not for me?
The Family Coalition Party, I said, it's founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic, which is what our country is founded on. And a lot of people just seem to forget this. And I think there are a lot of people out there who would like moral basis for government.
Well, I believe in moral basis, too, but I don't believe it has to be Christian. I think there's too many people in Canada without Christian beliefs, with a multitude of beliefs now, for any party to be religiously affiliated that way.
What does it have to do with Judeo-Christian? I think she's making a good point. I mean, a person can care for their family, be pro or anti free choice and the subject of abortion, have all the opinions and share them with you as passionately as you do without being either Judeo or Christian.
That's right, and they'd be welcome in the party. There are lots of other people who want government based on moral principles and who maybe are very strong family people who are not Judeo-Christian. But what we're saying is that Canada was founded on the Judeo-Christian ethic, and it just seems to be disappearing, and nothing is coming in to take its place. And I don't see any harm in talking about the values of the Ten Commandments.
Let's just accept that whether or not you're a Jew or a Christian, ma'am, caller, let's just say for the moment that you agreed with what Ms. Johnson has been saying. Do you in fact think that what she has been promising is a plank of the FCP, rolling back some of the legislation she's opposed, is something you would like to see the major parties take up? Is this something you feel that's been paid enough attention to?
Yes, I think it has.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's acceptable in any other party without having a party just on those kind of lines.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about some kind of moral principles, and the majority...
Well, I think there's some kind of moral principles in anything, in any organization.
There should be, but we seem to be getting away from it.
I don't believe we are.
Yeah. All right,
May I make a comment on the issue of morality? One of the things that seems to be gone by here is that morality only has to do with those issues that are open to our free choice. That's what morality means. It means choosing between right and wrong. And when an individual or a party or anyone imposes their choice on someone else, they're eliminating the condition of morality. Morality only has to do with choice. And by eliminating choice in whatever area of anyone's life, you have, in effect, eliminated morality. The man who does not steal or kill or maim or commit crimes because he's behind bars or has his hands bound or is in some way restricted by government is not a moral man.
Aren't there sins of omission as well as commission? If I know that you're a physician and you walk by someone who's bleeding to death in the street and don't help them, could I not, as a government, hold you responsible for not making some effort to save his life? Or is it your attitude?
You could, yes.
It's your attitude, is it? I don't know. That no, whether or not you choose to accept that responsibility, whether you choose to be your brother's keeper, is entirely up to you.
Well, let's make sure that being our brother's keeper doesn't mean being our brother's jail keeper. They're two different terms. And certainly a doctor who has taken an oath to look after the sick when he runs into them and refuses to follow through on his own commitment that he voluntarily made, there's certainly some case to be made.
It's not illegal. Yeah, okay.
Well, in that sense, there's certainly a moral argument here, and that's the issue we're talking about. And certainly there have been cases even with citizens, bystanders, who have seen crimes in commission and did nothing and were held responsible to some degree. So this is not without precedent.
We'll return to more from Robert Metz of the Freedom Party and Judy Johnson of the Family Coalition Party and your telephone calls for either or both of them at 872-1010. Henry Shannon tells us that the southbound Don Valley Parkway should be avoided at all costs, jammed solid from the 401 to south of Eglinton. Metro Road says the median lane closed from south of Don Mills Road to the Leaside Bridge, and that's contributing to the mess. Other than that, it seems to just be an extremely heavy volume of traffic. that's calling, it's causing the backup. Just stay away, if you possibly can, from the Don Valley southbound between the 401 and south of Eglinton. Back to your calls on CFRB in 2 minutes. In the brochure it hands out, when it calls on voters, the Freedom Party insists it's not a fringe party, it's a major party which is just getting started. And I guess in order to make good on that promise, Mr. Metz, you have to catch people's imagination by, just as we've asked of all the other candidates, enunciating a specific platform that they'd like to stand on along with you. What would you like to see happen? What laws would you like to either see enacted or dissolved?
Well, just to go over a few points, I guess one of the first things we'd like to see is our freedom of speech protected rather than restricted. So we'd like to see an end to Ontario Censor Board and to censorship in general. We'd like to see freedom of choice in Sunday shopping and an end to all controls by levels of all government on when retailers can serve their customers. We'd like to see competition in labor, competition in business. That means an end to legislation such as the recent pay equity legislation we got. It means an end to things like corporate welfare and things of that nature that just put a strap on everyone. And of course, on the issue of abortion, we'd like to see an end to public funding of abortion, but we wouldn't restrict the individual's choice in terms of getting an abortion if they're willing to accept the responsibility for paying for it. So that's just a few of the issues that we'd like to address right off the top.
And the Family Coalition Party, we've talked about Bill 7 and protections for people who might be discriminated against because of sexual lifestyle. We've talked about stricter enforcement of the criminal code provisions on the subject of abortion. What else would you like to see happen were you in government, Mrs. Johnson?
Well, one of the pieces of legislation that came out this year, which all three parties agreed on, was the so-called pay equity legislation, which we are totally against. We don't think that it is going to help the women that it is supposed to. And even the Attorney General, Ian Scott, said he had no idea how much it would cost private employers and how many female workers it would actually help. So we would like to see some kind of an amendment to this and let it go back to the free market to decide wages and not have it legislated by the state, by a bureaucrat coming in and telling people what they should pay.
Mm-hmm.
We also would like to discourage universal daycare. If there is money available, we would like to see it go to the mother and encourage her to stay home while her children are in their first 3 or 4 years and help her to provide her own daycare, or perhaps she would like to give it to a neighbor or a sister up the street or whatever and have the child kept in a home environment.
Good morning, this is CFRB.
Good morning, Andy.
Yes, sir.
For Mr. Metz, who has spoken off morality and choice, and he has also brought up the issue of Sunday shopping, I'm going to accuse Mr. Metz of, using the old phrase, all things considered, not doing his homework. What worries me about Sunday shopping is its relationship to the energy crunch. There was a tilt downwards in the value of the American dollar a few weeks ago, and it was reported in your station. One reason was this, was the increasing amount of American oil imports. Lots of people believe that we're on the way to another oil crunch or energy crunch. Since the last one, there are probably about 25 million more bodies in the United States, apart from whatever there are in Canada.
So finally, you feel that there ought to be a ban on Sunday shopping so we can save our money without having to pull more oil out of our ground or someone else's?
Andy, I think it's a moral choice. Look, if we can turn down the heat in the shopping centers, turn down the lights, turn down the air conditioning, and close them down on Monday as well, we can save some oil for our grandchildren.
Okay, now, but here you're this is for Mr. Metz now. You're raising a collective good which opposes an individual right. Am I right, Mr. Metz?
Well, there's no such thing as a collective good opposing an individual right. The two are hand in hand. It's a contradiction to say it. But to suggest that Sunday shopping in any way relates to our oil crunch, if you follow that argument through, then we might as well close up shop for 7 days a week, and then your problems would be solved. As far as the callers claim that it's a moral choice, if it is a moral choice, then it must be an individual choice. And that's the only way that a choice of that nature can be made.
This is CFRB. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. This is a call directed to Mr. Metz as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Metz is right on, according to my philosophies. And this is the first I've heard of this party.
Hmm.
And I wonder if there is somewhere I could get in touch with them.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Metz.
Well, I guess I've hit my target here.
Oh, you sure have.
Well, we are in the Toronto phone book. The number is a London phone number.
Oh, and
we always encourage people to get in touch with us. In fact, that's our entire strategy in our election campaign, is to have people get in touch with us so that we can build an organization that will be electable in the near future.
Now tell us which nerve he hit so we'll know.
All of them, Andy. All of them. He's the first one I've heard in this whole election campaign that says it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that feel that way.
Okay.
Just before you go, I heard you say you only have 9 candidates in
this election.
Mm-hmm. Would one of them be in the Oakville area?
No, I'm afraid not, but believe it or not, we are organizing right now in Oakville. We have a group of people there that are going to be setting up a constituency association for us. Right now in Toronto, we're only running in the ridings of Don Mills and Fort York. We're also in Mississauga East and Mississauga South.
One of the problems in this province is you don't see the name of the party next to the name of the candidate.
That's true.
So a lot of people who might like, who knows, to vote for the Freedom Party wouldn't know how to do so.
That's right.
That's absolutely true, and it'd be something I'd like to see put on the ballot, a party affiliation, but that's up to the people in government who run these things.
Thanks for calling.
Keep up the good work. Thank you for calling.
Bye. We have one last call. I think this one is now for Judy Johnson of the Family Coalition Party. Good morning, ma'am.
Hi. I was listening to your show, and I'm glad that we now have a party that represents family values and traditions, which our country has been based on. Before, like, we've been disenfranchised. How could we vote for a person who we fund homosexuals, abortion, sterilization, euthanasia? Like, life, that's great. All the other parties are saying we're going to have the best economy and the best schooling and the best teachers and the best this. But if you don't have life, that's useless.
Are you a voter yet?
I'm nearly a voter.
Not yet. I'm interested. I'm interested in your age.
Because life is the essential part. We can have the best economy.
That's right. If we're not alive, we can't take advantage of the other rights that are available to us. And in education, we would like to support parents taking over, having the primary right for their schooling, and we would like to provide schools where parents want to teach religious education. And if the parents of a required number of students want to set up their own school, we think they should be funded.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you, and going door to door, I'm getting a lot of people who say they weren't going to vote, and now we're a viable alternative to the other three, and they are now going to vote where they weren't before.
Can I ask both of you, finally, if you feel that there's such a huge response to your respective parties out there, why haven't the other three major parties embraced your planks, just as the Liberals have sometimes stolen from the NDP to earn a point or two at the polls? Why haven't they grabbed this off from you if, in fact, there's so much support for what you're saying?
Well, I think because nobody has stood up before and run for office, and I think this is the point for people voting for us, that when they only look at the votes and at the voters, and when they see what kind of support we have, then they will start paying attention to the disenfranchised side of the electorate.
And Mr. Metz, do you in fact think that there are those people who would like to so roll back that net that sits under us all?
Certainly are. And in fact, I have to make it clear that our job as a political party is not to go out and convert those people who disagree with us. Our job is entirely to find those people who do agree with us. And I have learned from my past 3 years of doing this full time that there are an incredible number of people out there who feel totally alienated by governments that continually make their choices for them.
Well, you heard from some of them today. The Freedom Party, thank you very much to Mr. Metz for bringing their beliefs to us, and the Family Coalition Party as well. We'll wish you well in your efforts.
Thank you very much, Andy.
As we do all of you who are not sitting on the sidelines but are mixing in to this mess called politics, and it can be very messy indeed. Tomorrow, Larry Grossman will be my guest. In the first hour, you'll have an opportunity to speak directly with him, as you did to Bob Ray this morning. In the second hour, we'll learn more about the Libertarians, and the Canadian Communist Party will come to call as well to tell you why they deserve your vote. My vote goes to Wayne Glover and Tricia Raybock, the producers of this program. Thank you very much. Bob Hesketh next with news and comment on CFRB Toronto.